So this is the second episode of Ranger Radio that I recorded with James Hurd from the Surrey Wildlife Trust as part of the Ranger Radio podcast series back in 2015. And I think when you listen to this right from the off, you'll hear the buzz and the enthusiasm in my voice, the excitement about some of the wildlife that I was introduced to from James, and that exists right on my doorstep. I'm on Paul's allotment with James Hurd, who is a ranger for the Surrey Wildlife Trust, and we're here for the second month Ranger Radio series, which I've got to say there was a fantastic buzz around the first one that we did, and there was some really fantastic chatter on social media. It went really well, I thought. And when we recorded that podcast, it was at the beginning when you brought me down onto Barossa Common. And we hadn't really seen any wildlife when we recorded the podcast, but straight after, the place was practically teeming with wildlife, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We saw some really incredible stuff, including the Dartford Warbler, which I've heard so much about locally, both from a political point of view, but also from a conservation point of view as well. And I never imagined I would see one. And you pointed one out to me, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just as we were leaving. So it was, what was it, mid-January, something like that? Pretty chilly, cloudy start to the day. And then probably mid-morning, the sun broke through. And at that time of year, that's what the wildlife's waiting for. It keeps its head down in the colder weather and then perks up as soon as the sun comes out. We came up onto Paul's allotment. We saw the green huntsman spider. When we were recording on Barossa, we saw stonechat. As we were leaving Paul's, driving across, we had a Dartford just sort of flash across us. Real giveaway, I suppose. No offence, Paul, my slightly more experienced eye than yours picked it out. But from the flight, I could see that it was a Dartford with the shape of the tail and so on and so forth. It was moving quite quick and we caught a glimpse of it. As we're doing these podcasts, I'm pretty certain we'll be seeing more of these guys out here because we've had a fairly mild winter, and that's what they need to get through a mild winter up here. They're more of a Mediterranean bird, as I've said before. So, but the green huntsman, I think, was the real star of the show. Those colours were true in the photographs as well. I mean, it's an absolute standout animal that gets overlooked a lot of the time because it's just a little spider that lives in the undergrowth, but an absolute stunner.
I couldn't believe that we found one. I really couldn't, because we were in the car and you showed me a picture of it and said, oh, if we're lucky, we might see one of these today. Yeah. We really were lucky. And it was quite happy just to sit there and let me on your hand and let me take pictures of it.
Yeah.
And one of the comments, or quite a lot of comments actually, that I got about the Green Huntsman, and perhaps you can answer. First of all, quite a few people said, did you airbrush that? they couldn't believe that an illuminous green spider exists.
Yeah.
On the periphery of Camberley.
Yeah.
You would expect to see a spider like that somewhere in the tropics. Mm. It's a tiny thing. I think because we did such close-up photography of it, it kind of made it look bigger than it was, but actually it's a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
But one of the comments I got from a young lady in Deep Cut on social media was, is it poisonous?
No. So the mouth parts they have aren't really strong enough to perforate human skin.
Right.
So, I mean, it was happily crawling around on my hand and things like that, and it's not an issue whatsoever.
Yeah,
so it's nothing to worry about.
Yes, but it is absolutely gorgeous. And I've got to say, of all the years that I've been doing these podcasts and doing all the things that I do, from a media point of view, that has to be one of the highlights. I've got to say, it was fantastic. Now, we also saw a stonechat.
Yep.
And that's got quite an interesting chirp as well.
Yes, it's a typical heathen bird, and the name comes from its alarm call, which sounds like if you pick up two bits of flint and you sort of hit them together, it sounds very, very similar to the alarm call of a stonechat, hence the name stonechat. So, when we saw it in January, the males look a bit drab, but probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks the males will start getting their breeding plumage and they'll be starting to vocalise as they set up territories and trying to attract pairs, like all the birds out here will be doing. And one of the birds I'm hoping we'll hear this morning while we're out here at some point is the woodlark, because they've just started calling and doing their display flights. So if we get one and I interject, it's because there's a woodlark nearby, but we'll keep our fingers crossed.
You say display flights, it's almost like the Farnborough Air Show
but better
absolutely. Now we also saw some bees
And I was amazed to even see bees in January.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, there's on one part of Barossa, there's a pine tree that's got an old woodpecker's hole in it. And it looks like a domestic sort of swarm of bees, you know, that you'd have in a beehive, that has swarmed and just found this natural crevice in a tree to spend the winter in, basically. Whether they'll hang around for the summer or not, I don't know. Chances are they'll probably move off and find somewhere else. It all depends, I think I'm right in saying, whether the queen makes it through the winter or not. But I know where they are. They're off the path. They're not near anyone, so they're not going to cause anyone any bother, and we'll just keep an eye on them over the summer.
Yeah, but it was interesting to see them. The sun just popped out, and the moment the sun came out they started swarming around the nest, which was incredible. So I want to talk about what we're doing here today, because it's a volunteer day you've got running here. And there's quite a lot of volunteers, a very wide demographic of people you've got here as well. Young people, more mature people, men, women. It's fantastic, actually, the support that you've got.
Yeah, Surrey Wildlife Trust is very lucky in, like you say, the support it gets from volunteers. They provide an absolutely invaluable service to us and help us get through a mountain of work that we just wouldn't be able to get through any other way. Or if we did, it would cost us an absolute arm and a leg.
Right.
So it gets the local community involved in work that's going on in nature reserves in and around them. So they have a degree of ownership over the reserves. But it also represents, in pure black and white terms, a slight financial saving to the trust as well as a charity, which is invaluable. In that respect as well. But the demographic, like I say, we've got guys that are probably in their 60s and 70s and retired and out getting some fresh air. We've got a young lad from Merris Wood who's doing work experience out with us. I've got a Surrey County Council trainee out with us. And on Paul's allotment, it should be mentioned, there's another group of volunteers called the Heathland Conservation Society that have been absolutely invaluable in turning Paul's allotments from basically an off-road motorbike practicing area to this stunning SSSI and SPA nature reserve that we see today. So the two volunteer groups, particularly HCS in the early days as well, have been invaluable and vital in getting this place looking the way it is.
Fantastic. And what are they actually doing here today? Because actually where we are on Paul's allotment is actually the exact spot where we found the green huntsman last month. What are they doing here today?
So today, over the winter, I've had Merris Wood students coming out here doing their chainsaw training. So they've, under a felling licence, they've been felling trees, Scots pine trees here. They've been knocking the trees down, sectioning up the timber into lengths. The timber, the usable timber, will go off to be chipped and then used in creating power, basically, biomass. But from that, you get a degree of brash, all the branches and things off the top. So Merris Wood are piling up the brash in some piles, the timber in other piles, and we're here burning up the brash to keep the site tidy and avoid the risk of things like wildfires later on in the year, and then we'll get the timber sold later on in the year as well.
Okay, and you touched upon last time why you chop down trees. I mean, people think, isn't that a kind of contradiction and of what you guys are supposed to be about? Can you explain that whole concept again, why you do that?
So on lowland heathland, particularly in the southeast, Scots pine is a plant that's not native to this area. They've been found to only really be native in sort of the Caledonian pine forests in Scotland. So in the southeast, they were predominantly planted up as a timber crop, probably around the time of the First World War, that sort of period. Times have changed in the last 100 years. And the UK timber industry is nowhere near what it used to be. We don't rely on timber as much anymore, now that we can manufacture materials stronger than timber, basically. So we don't have the same desire for the timber. Therefore, a lot of these areas that were planted up, once they were planted, you were probably looking at anywhere between 30 and 50 years till that crop was ready to harvest. In that 30 to 50 year period, there wasn't the demand decrease, there wasn't the demand for it. So therefore, a lot of the trees were just left. Now, anyone who knows a pine tree, you've seen Christmas trees and things, they will seed unbelievably readily, and that seed is carried by birds, it'll blow around in the wind, and therefore the pine woodlands start to encroach further and further out. Once you get pine settling on an area of heathland, it's so dense and it grows so quickly, it outcompetes all the native heathland flora. So typically your heathers will get outcompeted because there's no light getting through to the ground, and the pines just grow and grow and grow. They'll drop needles on the soil, they make it more and more acidic, and basically create conditions that are only suitable for that pine forest, with potentially maybe a bracken understory. Now, in terms of biodiversity and the wildlife that supports, it's really, really low in comparison to lowland heath. You'll get more forbs and plants in a lowland heath setup. That supports more invertebrates, and therefore, further and further up the food chain, you get greater biodiversity, which is basically the opposite of a Scots pine woodland.
Wonderful. Well, thanks very much again, James, for taking part in the podcast and letting me come out with you and shadow you in your incredible work. I've got to say, I'm very jealous. I think you have the world's best job, I've got to say. And you've renewed my interest in the outdoors and wildlife and all the rest of it. And I hope that people that listen to these podcasts get the same from it. Just very quickly, how can people find out more about the Wildlife Trust? And if there are particularly young people who want to get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, if you're interested in anything to do with the Wildlife Trust, so it might be a walk, it might be volunteering, it might be and volunteering doesn't have to be outdoors. We've got some people that volunteer in the office as well. If you're interested in any of the work we do or how you can get involved, the easiest way is to go onto the website, which is www.surreywildlifetrust.org. Just put Surrey Wildlife Trust into Google and it'll come up. Yeah. And all the info's on there.
And you're on Twitter as well, at SurreyWT.
Yeah,
I think
at SurreyWT for the Twitter at tag there as well, and you can follow
us
there.
You've got Facebook as well? Facebook
page. Yeah, there's a Surrey Wildlife Trust Facebook page, so it's all over the social media. The only one we're not on yet at the moment is Instagram, but we're working on that one as well.
That's good news.
So yeah, we're getting there.
Excellent. And if you're interested in following this podcast series, the hashtag is Ranger Radio.
That's it, hashtag Ranger Radio. Lovely. Get that in Twitter and you'll never miss a beat.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Paul.
We're on pause allotment as part of Ranger Radio for the Surrey Wildlife Trust. And I'm talking to two volunteers here. And I can't remember your name, so if you could just introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Jeff Pearce.
Hi, Jeff. And you live where?
I live live on the Paddock Hill Estate between Frimley Green and Frimley.
Oh, right. Very local then. And we're also talking to...
Hi, I'm Rupert Arvidson. I'm the trainee ranger with Surrey County Council.
Okay. And are you hoping to get a job with Surrey County Council? What is it that you're... why do they need trainee rangers?
I'd love to have a job with Surrey County Council, but unfortunately, the way my year works, it's a Heritage Lottery funded year placement with the council.
Oh, okay.
So this is the fourth and final year of it, and then this is hoping to get.
You get a job out of it at the end of it, so it's a bit like an apprenticeship, I suppose. Because I know that Surrey County Council are very hot on that sort of thing.
Yes.
And what sort of things have you been doing in the last 4 years? I mean, have you been enjoying it for a start?
Oh, it's been great enjoyment. I was doing a huge range of things.
Yep.
Pretty much the whole year is basically getting most experiences possible. Yeah. So I've been doing kind of things that we're doing today, some scrub work.
Yep.
But currently I'm working with the Surrey Wildlife Trust with the grazing team.
Right.
So now I'm kind of, my day-to-day, today's a bit different, but day-to-day I'm usually working with livestock, cattle moves.
So have you been doing anything with the red deer over on the Pirbright Ranges?
Unfortunately not, but hopefully I'm planning to go there next week.
Yeah,
to
be so am there. I, so I might see you again there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I've got to say, and I'm sure you would agree, Jeff, being a ranger has to be probably the coolest job you could ever have. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think it probably is. Although I guess if you're working out, you know, in the middle of winter on the very wet days, it can probably be a bit.
Mind you, young fit guys like James and Rupert here probably don't feel it.
No, absolutely. But yeah, it is nice. I mean, it's a beautiful place to work, isn't it? And,
yeah,
when the weather's like this, it's great.
And I keep saying this over and over again. We're so incredibly lucky to have this on our doorstep, aren't we? I mean, we're here at Paul's Allotment, which is right next door to Barossa Common. Just the most beautiful outdoor countryside. It's incredible, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely lovely. It's quite a big open space, and you can wander across here for a couple of hours and no problem at all. It's absolutely lovely.
Yeah, and so what are you doing here today, and what motivates you to volunteer for the Surrey Wildlife Trust?
Well, I've always had an interest in wildlife. Right. I do quite a bit of walking. I've always been interested in walking, and now I'm retired, I thought, well, I ought to try and sort of put a bit more back into society, and I sort of decided to do some volunteering, and it's quite good because I'm learning a lot more about wildlife. You know, you come out on these sort of days and see different types of birds, and there's always people around you that are experts in particular fields, whether it's bird, you know, different types of birds or flowers or invertebrates or that kind of thing. So yeah, it's enjoyable.
There is an astonishing array of wildlife here. You wouldn't expect to see some of the things we were mentioning in the podcast earlier with James about the Green Huntsman spider. Yeah. And we're actually literally stood on the spot where we found one last month.
That's right, yes.
I mean, you wouldn't expect to see something like that. It's so tropical looking right here in the heart of Surrey.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think the thing is we're all used to watching wildlife programmes that come from Africa and other parts of the world. But, you know, there's so much different types of wildlife, you know, just on our doorstep in our own country. Yeah. And a lot of it isn't really that, you know, that publicised, I don't think.
And you mentioned to me in the 4x4 as we were coming here today that you volunteer practically every Wednesday. You come out here. So every week, you must have seen quite a bit of wildlife yourself while you've been volunteering with the Wildlife Trust. Any memorable ones?
Not so much on here, but on some of the sites sort of south of the Hog's Back I've been to. I've seen some sort of large types of beetles, some raft spiders that I'd never seen before, which apparently I think are Britain's second largest spider. And quite a large spider. So some different types of.
My missus would be terrified if she saw that. Excellent. What about you, Rupert? I mean, maybe some highlights of your last 4 years, of some of the things that you've seen.
Oh well, I've seen a whole range of things. You know, it's you know the rare things are amazing to see, but it's also the kind of common things that you don't always get to see. You know, just basic things like you know even you know. Buzzards, interesting things like that, you know, which I, because I'm originally from Kent, but I swear you see more things like that over here in Surrey.
Clearly having a good time with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, thanks, guys. Thanks very much for taking part in the podcast. Well done. On behalf of the community as well, well done for volunteering your time. Okay. So freely and for the benefit of everybody, really. James was explaining to me earlier why you're doing what you're doing here today. And keeping this area looking amazing, and also you're all having a lot of fun while you're doing it.
We do, yes. I mean the banter is really good.
I've noticed.
It's a good enjoyable day, really.
Excellent. Yeah, so, well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. So we're finishing up now here on Paul's allotment, and just wanted to quickly catch up with James at the end of the session just to recap on what's happened here today. The fire is going, we can hear that in the background. The smoke is incredible. My missus is not going to be happy, James, when I get home because I'm going to be stinking of this smoke. But it's been a successful morning, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just the start. I mean, the fire's just getting going now, so we'll be able to crack through the work as that gets a bit bigger. We'll be able to burn the stuff faster and crack through it a bit quicker. But no, got the fire going, the rain stopped, it's starting to brighten up. We should have a good day ahead of us, really.
Right, excellent. Now, I mentioned to you off air earlier that we're getting an enormous amount of chatter on social media about the red deer on the Pirbright Ranges. Local residents, almost on a daily basis, are posting images on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and so on of the red deer off the Maltway, which is kind of a part of the Heaverside estate. So it's in between Cambly Town Centre and Mitchett on the Maltway there. And I thought that it would be really nice to do some media on that, so we're going to try and hook up with the ranger responsible for that next week.
That's right, yeah, he's a colleague of mine in the grazing team, a guy called Steve Proud, so we will try and get diaries together and meet up. Whether we can get onto the ranges or not is a different kettle of fish, but yeah, we can certainly get onto the reserve that directly borders Pirbright Ranges, have a chat with Steve about the deer, why they're there, what they're doing out there, how the whole project's progressing forward, because it's quite an exciting project and right, something that's not all that commonplace, using red deer to maintain a nature reserve. It's a military ranges, but it is a SSSI, so to maintain the biodiversity on Pirbright Ranges.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thanks again for letting me out with you today. I've had an enormous amount of fun. This bunch of volunteers you got here are a cracking lot. We've had a really good chat over a cup of tea. Lots of great banter, and I would definitely recommend to anyone out there that wants to get out in the outdoors, do a bit of good, come and volunteer for the Surrey Wildlife Trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Bit of fresh air, bit of exercise, see some incredible wildlife and help look after your local area. So it's a complete win situation.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Paul.